What a fun episode that we had at Impressions Fort Worth this year. Shout out to Impressions for hosting an awesome event. So many people were back. We'll talk about it more, but we've got a lot of special guests in this. This was a mega pod. We don't really have those very often because it's hard to get everybody in one space, but we had it. Not only that, we had equipment. We had multiple mixers. I mean, you guys all see. It was awesome. Really quick, though, I want to mention two sponsors here because the rest have got some surprise guests. But first of all, Supa Color. All right, think about this. How can you print high color counts, gradients, hard to print locations, and a bunch more? Well, Supa Color has an amazing new guide that's going to be able to help you to do this all with heat transfers. I even saw, if you go to Night Owl Prints on Instagram, they did a really cool heat transfer, a sleeve, multiple colors and everything that was not screen printed. I thought that was pretty neat. And honestly, there's a ton of heat transfers, there are different types, how to price, how to pick a quality heat press, all of that. There's a really cool new guide Supa Color has made. If you go to supacolor.com/printhustlers, or the link is in the description, you can be able to get this guide to be able to read through it and just pick up a ton of really good information. That's supacolor.com/printhustlers. Make sure to check that out. And second up, Multicraft. If you haven't heard of Multicraft underscore daddy, you need to, because if you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies has been helping the industry for over 50 years and providing you with top brands at competitive pricing. But check this out. If you mention the Printavo podcast, you'll receive extra 10% off your first order. Give them a shot, get the discount, and try it. They have some great service to be able to help you out with. All right, we're going to jump into this episode. Let's do it.
Hey, Printhustlers, shirt showers, and what's your...
Golden Boys podcast.
Come on, dude. All right, hey, Printhustlers, shirt showers, and Golden Boys.
We're using it.
Oh, man. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Really excited to have all of you back. This is cool. We're all here physically, which I was not expecting. Got a couple people from Honduras, Indianapolis, St. Louis / Laguna Beach. He's bougie now. Champagne. Thanks for listening. All right, cool.
Dylan, you're supposed to say, like, really stoked about this episode. We've got a good one coming.
I record that after the show and I put it in the beginning.
Depending on how it goes.
Well, first of all, this is the Impressions Fort Worth show. It's 2022. Yeah. It is back in full swing. What's your early thoughts of Fort Worth? It's like sportscaster. How'd Dylan do today on the auto loading earlier?
Well, he was under a lot of pressure, but he performed well.
I haven't done anything yet today.
We're rusty. We're very rusty.
I haven't even seen the show yet.
Do you feel recharged, though? Like, I know you guys have had a pretty hectic schedule, the two of you, you and Steven. Did you get some rest last night, or were you partying?
Last night was the only night out of this entire week that I got more than 5 hours of sleep.
So we spent the week with Gildan. We were in North Carolina.
Gildan.
Now you know.
Definitely Gildan.
Spent the week, started in North Carolina, Salisbury, North Carolina. Not a place you probably want to end up.
No, it was a nuke town. No live humans.
Then we went to Honduras on Tuesday. Both times we flew through Miami, so like hurricanes, not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then flew back yesterday into Dallas, and every day we started at like 6:30 in the morning, and we were out till 10 or 11 at night. So,
board of decorators.
Yeah, that was a great time.
So, besides eating a lot of meat, what did you do?
Ate a lot of meat.
I heard you did the old 54-ouncer.
51.
51.
What?
51-ounce porterhouse. Yeah, that's good.
Between how many people?
Me.
Like a man.
I need like one of those stethoscopes to just like check.
I'm barely alive right now.
Yeah.
I steak every night.
And for lunch.
I had it for lunch too, yeah.
Oh my God. What was the best part of the trip? What was the coolest thing you saw?
I feel like visiting them. Gildan manufacturing facility. I feel like the yarn was my favorite.
What?
The yarn facility was probably my favorite.
What is that?
Creating yarn from cotton?
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah. Just like raw cotton in one end, like finished yarn on the other end.
They literally had bales of cotton. So like one plant goes through 1,000 bales a day.
Maybe. How much is a bale?
A bale's
Well, me and Steven did the math too.
What? Three bales an acre? Two bales an acre?
Three. I think it was three bales an acre.
And you can get
we're botching this horribly because we can't remember.
Our public math ain't good here. Pound of cotton is like $1.80, something like that. Anyways,
did you guys learn anything?
I need to think about what we saw.
Because it's just steak is just.
I have it all noted down.
But the thing is, take your time. Yeah. So we got all the time in the
they
world.
They basically just had baled raw cotton come in on one end, and then they put all the bales together, and there's this huge thing that goes through and takes a quarter inch off of all the bales, and then it goes through. Basically, it looks like Build-A-Bear with all the cotton coming through, getting sucked into this other thing. And then they make they do the whole process of making the yarn, and it's insane. Like, you go your whole career basically of just thinking about it as being a t-shirt and whatever, but then seeing literally from raw cotton to it, like finished product of like being.
So two things interesting about creating yarn. Ring spun yarn is like a 7-step process where it's combed and like handled a lot differently versus like normal ultra cotton or whatever that's put into a G5000 is like a 2-step process.
Yeah, like an open.
So those facilities operate so much differently.
Wow.
And one produces like 5 times more yarn than the ring spun one every day.
Yeah.
And so
they're basically
what?
Team Tim and Team Todd.
Team Todd. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, the two guys that run it, they were talking about it being totally different things and like how much one produces versus the other. So there's definitely way more that goes into a combed ring spun cotton.
Have you guys gotten the sample tees from like Gildan or Bella Canvas or those guys where it's printed and it shows you like they're sewn together and it's printed one half with the ring spun and the other half the other open cotton, and it shows you the smoothness, the fibrillation and everything. Yeah. You've seen those shirts?
I've seen them
like
before.
The sample shirts. Yeah. Huge difference.
No, it's cool just like seeing they show you this is combed and ring spun, and you look at it and you see like that there's no, leaves or anything.
Yeah, how does that come out?
There's a thing that it goes through, and it has literally like a comb, and then there's like teeth on the bottom, and it just pulls all those particulates out.
Wow. I think it was crazy how robotic yarn creation was.
Yeah.
So there was only like 40 or 50 employees per shift, and it's like a 500,000 square foot facility.
Yeah, massive.
Holy cow.
And so really the only thing
nobody in there.
Humans are doing are just like making sure the machines are up and running and then like moving a couple things. But the yarn is then put on pallets and sent to Honduras to get knitted.
Wow.
It was wild. And it runs 24/7.
Yeah, super, super eye-opening to the whole process and, like, what actually goes into it. And it's funny, we were talking, like, you see the cotton and then you see the yarn and then you see the dyeing process and the cutting and the sewing and all that. And then you buy the shirt for $3.
Right.
And you're just like, how?
Right. Like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
But then you see the amount of stuff they have and the efficiencies they have, and you're like, okay, this makes sense. And then they talk about how many shirts they make a year, and it's just like, okay, this makes sense. But it's just, it was super eye-opening trip. Like, it gave me a whole new respect for Gildan.
So it's made into yarn in North Carolina.
Yes.
And then, like, is it like rolls of yarn?
It's in massive rolls, spools.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that's sent to Honduras to get knitted. And these knitters are just like these big, like turbines that just like spin and like literally spin the yarn into spools of fabric.
Yeah, they make a 500-pound bale basically of tube ready to go, ready to be dyed fabric.
Whew, that's insane.
And what's cool is you can see it and be like, they'll tell you like, oh, that's going to be into a 5,000. Oh, that's got to be like, they showed us how the back of fleece is like, it starts as terry cloth and then it gets like.
Yeah, basically it gets like roughed up by all these teeth. To give
create
it that,
fleece.
The fleece, yeah.
Jeez.
So it was wild.
Yeah. Amazing.
We had armed security with us at all times.
Mm. Honduras security. Yeah.
Thanks, Luis.
Yeah, shout out, Luis. Awesome. Does he have an IG handle you want to plug?
He didn't mess around. He didn't even really talk to us. He was so engaged to just make
just
sure
like
we were safe.
Spotting.
It wasn't anything crazy, though. Like, I didn't at all feel like it was a sketchy. Honduras wasn't bad. I mean, they're just trying to make sure we're taken care of. You know, we don't know jack shit about that place.
Yeah.
They don't want us to wander off and end up, not coming back.
Sure.
So it's not like it was crazy. Like, they had to have a dude with an AK follow us around. It's not how it was. It was literally Luis just was like a stern looking dude. And he was just there to make sure we got from A to B. And you know, had a good head count and everything. So I don't want people to think that that's like a super sketchy area. I mean, it's not, it's a different country. It's a different, whole different thing, but it wasn't scary or anything.
The sewing, mm-hmm. is that all done there too? Like, yeah. 'Cause it turns into fabric and then obviously everything's hand sewn, but yep.
what's so that like? What was it? Day one there, we saw making the tubes basically. Mm-hmm. And then
they get dyed.
And then we saw the dyeing process the next day. And then the day after, we saw all the sewing.
It's got to get cut first.
Yeah, cutting.
Then sewn.
But it's the whole process. It's the whole thing is done.
How do you, what are your thoughts now versus before on just Gildan as a company or just how a t-shirt is made even? Like going, before you know, like going into it. And now afterwards, do you have a different appreciation for the whole thing?
Well, what we learned is that a lot of the brands that we like, Gildan also helps them out too. Mm. So they're right. Actually, they're vertically integrated in the supply chain.
So it's like they're a contractor.
Correct.
For other.
So they're making a lot
of
stuff.
Well, the way that we're not, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about all the stuff.
Are you media trained yet?
Yeah. Well, but just say it's like we were talking about with JF, is it's like, it was like Renfro's salsa. You know what I mean? Like they make salsa, but they also make salsa for a ton of other people. It's right. Kind of the same thing. And then when you hear that, it's funny, just like ignorant people. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. And you're like, oh, I'd rather this shirt than that shirt. And it's like, dude, it's fucking made by the same people. Like
same factory.
Right. Like have some respect. I think it's just one of those things, like being in the industry so long, knowing, you know, you always have heard of Gildan and you know everything they have, but you don't know what goes behind it. And they've kind of always just done what they do. And they haven't always been like in the end user face. They've always been more like, we make the product that goes to the distros and then it goes to us and distro deals with us and whatever. So they're really trying to change that. They're really trying to get in our faces and show us like, hey, like this is what we do and this is what we're working on. And this is, and the thing is anything we said, they fully took note of.
There was like never, big time.
Wow. Never a time where we said like what we thought or whatever, where they were just like, oh yeah, well, you know, like whatever. They literally noted everything.
Like, do you guys private label a ton?
Yeah.
What do you do about comfort color private labels? Do you cut out comfort colors?
I haven't done comfort colors. We've done AS color. Those are always the fun ones.
We got into like a pretty lengthy discussion on cutting out neck tags on like comfort colors, and they walked us through like all of the different parts. But what was cool is like last year this was brought to their attention and now they have like a solution coming out.
Nice.
Tear away.
What?
For tear away.
Right. Like the board last year basically carried on the shoulders of Matt Marcotte. Basically they said, you know, these are things that we're noticing and these are things that need to be addressed. And they literally did all those things.
It sounds like there's almost a disconnect because they're so B2C, I guess. They're business to business.
B2B. Yeah.
They're B2B and they're trying to get and reach out to the consumer.
Right.
Yeah. I guess.
Well, for so long they've supported Sanmar and SNS as their customers. Mm-hmm. Right. But like that creates a barricade to us. We interviewed Lawrence from AS Color last week or 2 weeks ago. And he said, we asked him like, why aren't you distributing? And he goes, then I'm disconnected from my customer. I can get feedback so much quicker if I'm actually getting it to them. And that makes so much sense, right?
I mean, I think Gildan's also on such a large scale. I mean, looked it up. Yeah. They did almost $3 billion last year.
Yeah.
$2.9 billion.
It's just such a big ship. It's not like, you know, it's hard for them to come to just chill with us and not feel like, you know, what do I do? What do I say? Because it's such a big organization, but that's what they're trying to fix. They're trying to, I feel like with this whole board of decorators thing, they're really trying to get all of our feedback and like take it to heart and fix things, tweak things. It was like, Steven brought up a really good point about a pocket tee on like comfort colors. And then they were
we didn't
realize that.
And then they're about
literally
shrinkage?
Like going to change it. They were that's something we can
why,
change.
Why is it?
So comfort colors are prepared, they're sewn first and then they're dyed. So they're over sewn to be to then shrink. It's called like PFD, prepared for dye. Yeah. We asked them like, the pockets are freaking teeny by the time we go to print on them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we didn't think about actually making that bigger. We made the rest of the garment bigger. before it went for dye, and they're like, oh, we can make that change, and we're like, we would freaking love it, right, so we don't have to print a pocket.
A couple people like took notes, and it's like they're just gonna like tweak stuff and like do what we're asking. And
that's wow.
really
cool.
It's really crazy to see a company like you said, X billion dollars, be like, all right, yeah, like that makes sense. You guys are the ones that have to mess with it, yep. so why not fix it?
Yeah.
So it was crazy, like, to just talk to them. They were super open. That's what I feel like blew me away the most, was like how big of a place it is, how their efficiencies are crazy, and they like looked at me and Steven and the other board members and were like, tell us how you feel. And they were like sincerely like, all right, cool, like let's work on it, let's do something.
What were you gonna say?
Oh no, I was just saying that was really cool, the fact that you have such a massive company that's willing to take notes and say, right, like, yeah. oh yeah, we might have missed the mark on that one, totally. Let's fix it.
Well, then we talked about like length of a shirt.
Yeah, that was my big topic.
And that was like, and then they're like, we can make it longer. Here are all the things that have to happen to make a shirt 1 inch longer.
Just across, like rolls on the hey,
no, like
go,
every dye,
one.
Every, like, wow. it's, it, they said yeah. it would take like a year to like, train, but they're like, it can be done.
Yeah.
So they're actually listening.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was really, it's really cool.
It's cool
I think
that
the change, that's a big ship. You start to right. realize, right? Like even a small shop, like you think yeah. about your shop, and to, we get this with Printava, to adopt a shop management solution, anything requires stopping, creating new process, understanding the good, the bad, all of it. And then imagine like a company like that, that's which is crazy, to add 2 inches and they're like, okay, but it's going to be a year, but.
Right. It was like, we brought up the, like the G8000 having the press tag versus the hang tag. And I asked them, I was like, are you guys like finally out of those yet? Because like once in a while I get an order where like the mediums all have like the pressed in tag, and then it kind of screws us over if we're relabeling. And they're like, yeah, it's just one of those things. Like it takes so long to phase out because we make millions of garments and we just need people to buy them up. And then we go into the new tag. Or we were talking about, they have new boxes coming out with like the different brands and stuff that they carry and everything. And it's like, We don't want to waste everything we have. We want to like get through it. We want to be as, you know, efficient and eco-friendly as possible. So they're trying to like get through those things rather than just discard them and start over. So,
man, it's crazy to think that on, you know, like a garment that, you know, like the pocket, you know, it's like, to us, it's like, oh, you just make the pocket bigger, right? You know, and like we come, you know, in certain industries with these shirts, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the knowledge that can help you guys out. And they're like, yes, like I want to, you know, take that and try to apply that. And I hear you guys. And again, that's just really cool that they're willing to even listen. Like,
yeah, it was like the pocket thing was funny, because like, it's not like a huge difference, but like if you have a sleeve palette on press and you're loading like a, you know, yeah. like a regular pocket tee, and it's fine. And then you go to do a comfort colors and it's still fine. It's just a little more snug, or it slightly stretches the pocket out, and yeah. we're like, yeah, it's a huge difference for us, because if we do a multicolor print on that pocket
yeah.
and you put the underbase on and you're going to go print the other color and it shrinks a little bit because you're stretching it,
yeah,
then it messes up the print and we have a lot more registration issues. Or yeah. you print a circle on a pocket and you take it off and it's an oval.
Yeah.
It's like yeah. stuff like that as decorators, like makes a difference. Like to you, it's like, yeah, the pocket might be like an eighth of an inch smaller than the other pocket, but yeah. to us, it's like, it's just enough to warp the print.
Yeah.
And the end user has to, you know, it's a messed up print.
And
or
aren't you guys doing that with like Anatol right now? Right. What? Like you were just telling me earlier.
Yeah.
What you said.
So we don't even have like sleeve platens or anything quite yet. Like as far as, you know, like we're in that stage of, we got a new automatic and, you know, buying, you know, 14 different platens and all these different things. It's just not happening right at this moment, but it's like, well, this is what we're working with. And, you know, but we, you know, we can only do so much with what we got as far as a garment on our platens. But we got certain different brands, like we can fit, you know, a youth tee on like our platen, but size of the shirt matters.
Yeah. Hey, I just saw somebody walk by and we got to get this on camera.
Alex,
there is a certain mullet walking around here, and we all just want to run our fingers through it.
You can come right here.
You come over here.
Please like, come.
We don't even see your face, just the back. Okay, perfect. Just look at this. Look at this, like, would you?
Mustache.
Let me do the ad read here too. Okay, don't move. Let me do the ad read.
I want to be known for my whole head.
Easy way.
It's the easiest way.
It's the sleaziest way.
It's the sleaziest way with easy way.
You shouldn't be spending all day cleaning dirty screens. Easyway's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster, more efficiently, and cost you a fraction of the cost per screen. Check out Easyway.
Look at that sponsor read.
Thumbs up, buddy. All right, love
thank you.
All right, we knocked off agenda item number two on Andy's list. Okay, last question on Gildan is, how does the purchasing, like, how long does this whole thing take? Because like the supply chain, they had all these bullwhip effects that everybody experienced. So is it like, all right, we'll place the orders now and then they'll come in 12 months? Or like, how does that work?
We didn't super get into it. Steven, did they talk about that with
us? I don't remember.
I don't know if they necessarily got into that.
Blacked out.
Well, we noticed
50
like,
ounce steaks.
We noticed that when we went to, they were more, it was up to us to ask a lot of questions, but I feel like a lot of it, well, we were in awe of like everything that we went through. And like, you know, they would take us into the sewing part and we would ask like questions about like, holy shit, like that's how you put a hood on. And it was like just watching this dude super expertly like sew a hood on or do QC or do all these things. And then like the one warehouse we went into, I mean, it was what, like 10 buildings or something? 8 buildings that were working. And it was like one or two was just dedicated to fleece and they were like pounding out hoodies and stuff. And it's like, oh, obviously they're like double timing on hoodies because like it's hoodie season. Like people need stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, they weren't, there was no part of any of the facilities we went to that were just like not working.
Yeah.
So on the sewing side, that was pretty crazy, I have to say, because you had 20 people on a line and they have to produce something like 240 dozen a day.
Yeah, it was like 200 to 300 dozen.
And sorry, a large hairy man just walked in front of me.
And our second sponsor is here. Lucas, you want to sit here in the middle?
Come on down for circle time.
Need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department? Graphic Source offers industry-leading outsourcing option to your shop and truly is a part of your team. Lucas here will help you. Can you... Is it blurry? Maybe he's
1-900-HOTSTUFF.com.
Yeah, you want to
both of them.
What you want to go to is 1-900-HOTSTUFF.com and get your freak on, because Nick and Lucas and Graphic Source, their whole team are freaking amazing.
Make sure to mention Printavo Pod, Golden Boys, or Shirt Showers for 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order.
Hey, what's the
order?
Show special for Graphic Source? If you buy... Okay, so
I don't even advertise it, but it's ridiculous. So if you want a good deal, you have to get your ass to the show.
You still have time. I mean, book a flight. Yourself,
I might run a special in Vegas, but
I was gonna say you're gonna be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay, so
get to the shows. Otherwise, you won't
know. No one's gonna hear this until after the show's over.
Okay. Good point.
So
good point.
So this is okay. So this is what we're gonna do. There's 3 show specials that will allow. Next 3 callers, 1-900-HOT-STUFF, you'll give them the show special.
I will take care of you if you go through 1-900-HOT-STUFF.
I think everybody uses Graphics. Do you guys use it yet or no?
Not yet.
They don't use it yet.
Not
so.
Yet. We just met last night.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Are you guys going to sign now?
Right now.
Sure. We're going to on the spot at this moment. I had it hot.
Yeah, here you go and get
right
that
here. Finger.
Mid-pod.
There's one other option though. You could come like go back in time and get here.
Yeah,
when this comes out,
jump into a wormhole.
Machines.
Yeah,
yeah, evidently.
Right.
Okay.
Time's just a construct.
How sad is Nick Wood going to be that he missed this and you came in his place?
I have no idea. I didn't know this
Where
was scheduled.
Where is Nick?
Really.
I saw him last night.
He's working the trade show booth. I abandoned him.
And you're just Yeah.
Well, Nick, know that. We feel like we miss you. We wish you were here.
He's gonna be so sad.
We're gonna I'll blow you a kiss.
All right, thank you, Lucas.
Appreciate it.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
God, that's almost a $2,000 roll.
So before we wrap up with Gildan, I was thinking, you're on the board of directors,
decorators.
Oh yeah, board of decorators. And I thought it would maybe be a good idea if they officially adopt you and you could change your name. It would be, instead of Dylan Gilligan, it's...
Dylan Gildan.
Perfect.
I'd do it.
Okay.
Gilligan,
for how much money...
Gilligan,
how much money would it take to change your last name to Gildan?
Dildan Gilligan.
Dildan Gilligan.
This episode is sponsored by Dildan Gilligan's new chief creative officer.
And my middle name's G5000. There was some other stuff there though about Gildan that we thought was really cool. Was their biotop,
biomass,
and the biomass.
What's that?
It was biotop, right? That was the ponds that we didn't get to see.
We didn't get to them because they were flooding.
We didn't get to because obviously the hurricane just came
through. The biomass is how they produce all of their energy that's used in all their facilities. And they have like tree bark and all this stuff they gather from like farmers and people in the country.
All the stuff that would go into a landfill and create methane, they are taking out and they are burning at the facility with excess cardboard and shirt cutoffs, everything. And they're reusing it to make in these big giant boilers to make steam to run the facilities.
Oh, and so wasn't
doing
it
a huge service?
Isn't it also that they use the ash as fertilizer
for mulch?
From it on the property as fill to create more land for more facilities.
And I think they like measure their waste. We went into their control room of where how efficiently things were running. We had to turn our cameras off.
But the other thing too is like they talked about the process of like the burning too, and like how efficient it is because you can see the smokestacks coming out of the boilers. There's nothing.
It's like got to be like clear.
Pretty much, it has like their standards are that it has to be basically clear. And they were talking about how the actual laws are so many parts per million or whatever, and they were like, it seemed like they were like super low on the parts per million actually being released.
What did the biomass smell like?
Yeah, the dude that was the director of that whole area was showing us around, you know, being professional. I walked up to him and I was like, biomass, more like bioass. And he laughed at me. That's pretty good.
We had like a film crew on us all week with a director. They didn't mic up Dylan at all.
They kept asking us if we wanted to be mic'd, and I was like, absolutely not.
Probably not a good idea.
If you want to actually use footage, do not mic me.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Do they have solar too or no?
They were talking about solar.
No.
I can't remember exactly what they were saying. It's just that something about it being not as efficient or the amount of money and time that they would have to put into it.
Yeah, it was.
But they're trying other stuff. Like I said, the biotop as far as like the water being used. Basically, the water coming into the facility that they do use, they have this whole like pond system where it filters out and everything, and the water that leaves the system in the end is actually cleaner than the water that came in.
Wow.
So they're doing that. They're doing a lot of really cool stuff for the environment as far as the facilities and, like I said, the efficiencies and everything else. So,
yeah.
No, it's been, it was
one last question.
Like, the whole thing was very, very eye opening.
Yeah. One last question on the stitching. Like, did it give you guys like perspective of like, you know, when you get like a whole bunch of shirts or sweatshirts in, you're like, oh, this one's messed up or this one's messed up. It's like,
so they, we asked them about like their QC process.
Yeah.
And they actually took note of it and were like, why do you put a shirt in a box if it's got a stupid sticker on it? And they're like, that actually shouldn't be happening.
Wow.
To like let us know the lots that's in, because there is actually like a repair aisle. But we tried to sew.
Yeah.
Didn't go so hot.
Were you good?
Yeah. You have to go through like 16 weeks of sewing to work on the line.
Wow.
And it's, we have videos of it.
Horribly.
Insane how fast they work.
Yeah,
but I will say, Dylan even asked this. He goes like, don't their hands get tired and stuff?
Yeah.
And actually their sewing facility is super well air conditioned.
Yeah, it's very cool in there.
They've got like music playing. It's like a fun area. Right. And every couple hours they have like music and they're all like doing stretches and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
they do like ergonomic like exercises and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like
everyone there was super happy, and it was funny, like we walked over in an area in they have a whole facility that's just for training people. And we walked in there, and I think me and Steven had asked the guy, like, hey, can we sew something? And he sat us down and let us. And all the people in there were just, like, looking at us and laughing, like, look at these fucking assholes. Like, they're gonna mess this up horribly.
Crazy perspective.
But the thing is, too, like, there were certain things that, you know, like, they didn't want us to, like, film with our – like, they were super open to letting us make our own content, film everything we wanted to. Obviously, for, like, personal reasons for, like, employees and safety, like, they didn't want us to film, like, the employees or anything. But I took a bunch of videos. We were allowed to take some stuff of just all these people sewing all these things and doing it. And like, I'm 100% going to make like an edit to show my staff and be like, hey, look at what actually goes into this whole thing, and maybe not complain about something 100%. If it's slightly weird or whatever. It's like, dude, these are human beings. Like, making all of these things.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody, they were super happy and stoked. Like, they had balloons above a person's workstation if it was like their birthday or whatever. And they were all walking around, like, they taped money to the balloon. So the person's birthday, like, they get like a bunch of extra money. Steven had a 20 in his pocket and put it up, but the exchange was like, well, like, it was a lot. Like, it was like $20 was like $420 to them.
Yeah.
So Steven like made this girl's month.
Oh, yeah, wow. Looks like we got a couple of contracts over here.
Oh, man.
Dude, doesn't mess around.
The halftone hero.
Wait, hold on.
That's the show special.
Put you on the spot.
Off the contract to sign up Golden Boys.
You going to sign it right here?
I'm going to read the fine details. I'm making sure.
You never know when Nick Wood's trying to.
Okay, you're good.
Okay. All good.
You guys use it? Cool. I trust you.
Wow, you got highlights on that.
Can we bring in another guest real quick?
100%.
Hey, Kevin. We have
Your script?
Kevin, the screen.
We have a Kevin.
We have a Kevin here. Otherwise known, a.k.a. Emulsion Guru. You can put your arm around me. That's cool. I saw the move.
He wanted to get consent first.
Every week on the shirt show, you give us a tip on the screen room, and I thought maybe you could share one.
I have to botch it.
Dylan, you botch it?
Usually when you make me read it, I read it very poorly.
So look, he's here. You don't have to read anything.
Right.
You can just say it. So you got a tip for us this week?
So you just want me just the tip? That's all you want? Just the tip, please. Okay.
I'll give you just
consent.
The tip.
See, consent.
There is consent.
Absolutely.
So this week... scumming. If you've ever had an issue where you're printing and the ink won't clear through your screen but it looks like it's open, that's typically scumming. You can use a wet rag, rub on it, it opens up. But what that is underexposed emulsion.
You're talking about that like shiny stuff
Yep. So that's underexposed emulsion, where you had mentioned earlier your little shop hack is use Windex, spray it on there, rub it up. But that's a good Band-Aid, right? That's a good Band-Aid. You can get through the job. But just fix it. Don't fuck around with that stuff. Just do it right the first time. Expose your screens correctly. And you're good to go, you know?
So if you have that scumming, generally it's an underexposure.
Oh, wait, say it again.
Oh, yeah. So scumming, generally the problem is an underexposure?
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. It's definitely underexposure, but... It could mean your bulb is too weak. You need to change your bulb. It's just not getting enough UV light. But it definitely goes back to the exposure of that emulsion.
But Chromaline has good exposure calculators that people could use.
Absolutely.
How often should a shop check their exposure?
Well, number one, if you change anything in your process, that's the first thing I always recommend. You know, do an exposure calculator test.
Should they change it if there's anything else, like a seasonal or a temperature or humidity change? Yep.
Humidity, temperature, all that will affect your exposure times. So as the seasons change.
So maybe every quarter do an exposure test?
I typically say like once a month.
There you go.
Yep. Just get like one of those little step wedges.
Yeah.
Throw it on your screen. It can be outside the image area so you can still use that screen.
Do it with a burn job so you're not wasting the screen.
Away. Yep. Just put it right on there. Yeah. I've got people that actually will take that little step wedge and tape it right to the exposure table.
Yeah.
So every screen has it on there. That's overkill. Right. But still, at least they know what's going on
with it. At least they're checking it.
Do you think you could come to our shop and just check our exposure for us? Or everyone that's listening, maybe check their exposure once a month for them. There's a contract we can get you to sign right here.
maybe.
If it's within the right price.
That's it. There's a chance. Is this contract talk numbers?
Graphx.
Not yet. It's going to be a pretty big number. I'm already traveling quite a bit. Don't see my family enough, but yes.
I mean, but someone from Chromaline can help.
Yeah, I mean, definitely at times.
Not necessarily a shop visit, but educational videos.
Or you can
maybe
follow
on
you
YouTube.
On it. You can follow on Instagram.
There you go.
I'd appreciate that.
Also,
Emulsion Guru,
Chromaline. Is it www.chromaline.com?
.net.
Yeah, if you go there, Kevin has some videos and all about the screen room. You can check those out, and I'm sure there's one on screen exposure times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, bud.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Get back to work.
See ya.
Agenda. I would, you know what? I would really love, I'm super grateful for everyone that listens and tunes into all of our shows.
100%.
I mean, you know, it makes me so happy. And I'm saying that because being at the show yesterday and being here today, people have come up and said, Andy, you know, like, you're my favorite podcaster on the show.
Is it Handy?
Specifically him.
Is it Andy or is it Handy?
Not Shirt Show.
Yeah. Well, Dylan, in all fairness, Dylan wasn't here yesterday.
Okay, so Dylan is Shirt Show number one. Being number two is not easy.
He likes it when I'm not there.
He can just keep talking and not be interrupted.
But real talk, like, it makes me, like, it warms my heart when people come up and say, hey, I listened to the show. And you know, it made this difference, or you guys are funny, or whatever it is. And so really grateful for that.
Yeah.
Let's also show some appreciation for the booth that we're in.
Yeah. Unite Together.
So you're in Unite Together's
How
booth
fitting.
And the Print Girl Mafia booth. They have this wonderful space, this most comfortable couches that we've sat on.
So we'll drop a link down for Unite Together. It's about diversity inclusion in the apparel industry. They're going to be at Printing United too. So if you guys are there, they got some really cool events going on.
We have a Unite Together human being right here.
Oh!
Can you want to talk about Unite Together real quick?
Lindsay, come on down.
Come here.
You don't have to be prepared. What if someone came to your booth? What would you say to them?
Unite Together is a group of people in the industry that really wanted to show that we are united in anything we do, whether it's the girls from Print Girl Mafia who got tired of feeling like men weren't listening to them in the industry, or we've got different people that want to feel like they're part of the, you know, Black Lives community, and they want to be part of those shops and show that we're united together. It doesn't matter who you are. Yeah. This is a safe space for you to come and just be with your people. Yeah. We're all a little weird. We're all a little, you know, eclectic, and we all want to. Right, exactly. And we want to make sure that people feel safe to be part of that. And if you've got something that your industry is specializing in, come talk to us. Come, you know, be part of this community. We don't want anybody to feel like they're excluded, whether it's all of the women or all of the men, or, you know, anybody that's in a community that you feel needs to be out there, come hang out with us. This will always be at our trade shows. This is going to be your safe space.
Yep.
We're hoping that you guys will want to come out and hang out with us, you know, be part of this. We hope that you come and do the pledge and, you know, say you're part of our community.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Wait, how do people like join or follow or what?
So we actually have a website. It's unitetogether.com.us. And what you can also do is, if you've got these flyers, if you scan, you're taking a pledge. You're saying that you are going to be that person that's going to be a supporter of everybody in the community.
That's awesome. It's really very cool.
Thank you for sharing your space here.
The scan for people today, listening course, after
letting us talk.
And if you guys want, there's water. There's Advil. Anything you guys need, it's here.
Might take you up. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you
so much.
And go check out the Print Girl Mafia as well.
PrintGirlMafia.com or .net.
Just Google it.
Okay. So here we are in Fort Worth, Texas.
Beautiful city.
What does everybody think about the show? What's the
showdown?
Are you guys
showdown lowdown
or just hanging out?
Yeah. You know, we're experiencing the whole transition when you jump into an auto shop and you jump to an auto shop to be more efficient, to make things go a little bit faster. And so now I have the press. I have the press and the conveyor dryer and, you know, the other equipment. Now I'm just like trying to hit those other.
Loves Andy, by the way.
Just like flies attack.
Loves me too. Just trying to find the other piece of equipment that will, you know, improve efficiencies and
what are you eyeing?
Looking at a wax to screen. I'm tired of transparencies for sure.
We fight printers all the time.
Yeah.
The inkjet printer stuff. We're over it.
So
the transparency stuff's a nightmare.
And I'm like kind of looking, it's like, okay, do we make the next step or do we just go all in and just get, you know, top of the line? You know, it's just the.
Can you say what you're debating?
Huh?
The vendors?
Can you say what you're debating?
No.
Yeah, you have your mind up. We talked about it earlier. You're still thinking about what you want
to
do?
Yeah, I'm still thinking, but I went to Maid Lab last night and got to see the waxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to see the waxes screen, and then also got to see the laser, and I'm like, man, it's just, I've never seen that stuff in person either. So,
you guys said that, right? Or do you have the eye image?
He has the doubt that. I have the eye image. Thinking about getting the laser right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll probably have one on order before the year's
over. I'll talk you out of it, but that's cool.
No, you won't. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, like, we were talking about going to the shows and all that other stuff. Like, that's the, you know, that's the big thing. You can come down here and see any of the equipment run.
Isn't it crazy for a second? Hold on. You guys got your auto when?
Set up March of this year.
Okay. And now you're already thinking computer to screen?
Yeah.
It happened fast, yeah.
You'll notice bottlenecks once you get there.
That's it, man. It's like, oh, man, what can make this a little bit faster? You know, it's like, what can I do? Oh, do we have another guest?
We have another guest.
Come on down. Just come sit down.
We were just talking about Maid Lab, so.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Let's give a shout out.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, Brent Jesus.
Brent Jesus is here.
That's right. So, after the after party, can you talk about the after party yesterday?
Brett's an event guru.
I'm shy on camera.
Well, the thing is, we all pretty much agreed that last night was a perfect after party. It was a chill, fun, nice environment. It was one of the better ones.
When you bought that property, were you thinking mainly like priority one after party?
Well, I do. My mantra is work hard, play hard. But actually, when we got the first building, the Printed Threads building, when we first walked into that building, it was a total dump. We knew that we were going to have to do a bunch of remodeling, but the main showroom there, like instantly we were like, oh, we can have great events here. You know, so that's why we built the stage and we built the bar. And then when we took the step to create Maid Lab and we were looking at buildings and there was a building next door and we were like, oh man, it'd be really great to kind of start creating a campus here. And it's a great location. It's so close to downtown Fort Worth. It kind of happened a little bit naturally. We do a lot of events, not just for the screen printing world, but like we want to be kind of the creative hub of Fort Worth. And so we're always hosting events there for the creative neighborhood in Fort Worth. And it's just so happens that when there's a big screen printing trade show, like a half a mile away, it's a great place to have screen printers come over. And, you know, we're all like such nerds. Like people are like, what do you want to do on a Friday night? And you're like, oh, can I go see your print shop? You know, it's like, it's just a cool thing to go in other people's print shops and hang out.
It's really nice.
I think for people listening to the audio too, this is Brett Bowden who started Maid Lab.
We did. We said Print Threads.
Yeah, we did say that, Bruce. Maybe those gummies, you had one too many. Not sure.
My name's Bruce Ackerman.
God damn it.
I started Inksoft.
And half of Pronouncer's Cow. Wait, yeah. So he was saying that he was just buying a CTS. What do you have?
Well, he was debating on what to get.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're buying all sorts of stuff here. You're signing all kinds of contracts.
One, right? He's got a graphics contract pressure. Right there.
I got contracts in front of me. I got...
Whoa, you didn't sign this, dude.
You're going to start signing your name.
Graphics Source is not going to sponsor us anymore if you don't sign this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No pressure. I was just talking about how... got to see the waxes screen, got to see the laser at Maid Lab last night, and wow.
I think it's pretty nuts that it is probably one of the only places in the United States you can go and see the exposure units right and CTS like right next showroom. To each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
Like even at like trade shows, you still have to like run around.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful. Ryan, he gave me just a tour of start to finish, you know, like t-shirt, ink, you know, throughout the whole place. It was just... It was insane. I wish my dark room looked like that.
Bruce even tried to print.
Tried. I was running a 455.
Right. Is the Maid Lab open for any printer who wants to just visit and see equipment run?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we're typically there. There are times that obviously Tom and I are the only ones that live here. So there's times that Tom and I are out of town and stuff doing other projects. But yeah, if we're around, people are welcome to come by. But the reason that we have the laser there and the Douthat CTS is also so that we can emulate problems that anybody's having at their own print shop. So if someone's having a problem and they use a direct screen, we're like, okay, we're going to go use that machine and try to figure out that problem. If they use film, we can do that. We have every process for making screens. And then obviously the laser is the most kind of maybe innovative piece of equipment in our industry right now for screen making. So having that is really important. We need to make sure that we can dial that in and figure that out. And after having the laser at Made Lab for 6 months, I was like, maybe I'll get a laser at Printed Threads. So we did that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
What did that replace?
We had a Kiwo XTS before wax unit, which is a really great unit.
Andy, do you want to ask Brett why he made that mistake?
So
Andy's
I guess
trying to talk me out of getting a laser because he thinks that the wax is the
I'm a firm believer in the best system. And I guess, look, every shop is different. Every shop has...
So what is the best system?
Has their goals.
Because I can tell you for sure the best system is not putting inkjet drops on emulsion.
I would agree with that. Right. And so for me and for our shop, the best system is wax plus metal halide. And so I think it's a combination of things. It's not just imaging, but it's also exposing, and that's complicated. And so for our shop anyway, and what we're trying to do and our goals... We're wax plus metal halide.
I agree with that. I think that far as like, it's like we could build a house two different ways, you know, and like one of them is definitely going to be more rock solid for forever. But that doesn't mean that other things don't work. And so a metal halide light is going to make a screen emulsion harder, you know.
Where are we going?
But laser works and it's efficient and beautiful. Too. So is Nick Wood.
He is quite beautiful.
Hola, gentlemen.
We needed you to help.
We got graphics contracts here.
Does anybody have like a social
shield? I'm so sorry.
Sweating here.
Are you getting nervous?
If you're listening to the audio, Nick Wood just joined. Oh, do we have the spot? Do we have the sponsor read?
Oh, I can leave since Nick's here.
We just want to hang out.
You're right.
Lucas was here and told us not to tell you.
About what?
Him being here first.
Nick, what do you think about the show so far?
I think it's actually really good. You know, I'm used to more aisles, but I feel like the quality of people that are here, including yourself, it's been exceptional. So, yeah.
Nick, would you walk down the aisle with me?
Any day of the week. I've been waiting for that question my entire life.
Didn't get down, though.
Off a red velvet road.
That's right. You know, Printed Threads started in my wife and I's garage on Red Velvet Road, and Nick Wood came to our house,
and stayed for 3 weeks straight.
That's right. He still lives there.
Yeah, does Nick Wood end up at May Lab? Is he my kebab? Just a continuation.
You did just ask me for my Social Security card.
Always, but I just wanted to come say hi to you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Love you.
Love you, Nick.
Appreciate you.
Why upgrade to the laser?
Multiple reasons. I want it, and I think it's cool, and I like the...
Talk to Andy.
Address
it.
We've
talked about it many times.
There's no convincing over here. We're good. So yeah. I guess maybe Jonathan, he's
My thing is, for me specifically in my shop, like these guys were talking about what works in their shop, is for me, it's... the newer technology that I'm interested in. I fucking knew it.
The reason for Dylan is he has the best. There it is. He just said it. Newest, bestest. Do you have the iPhone 14?
No.
Okay. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
The guy with the Tesla. Do you want to talk about that now?
Oh! So, Andy.
How do you...
I'll listen to that one back.
Andy, you're trying to edit this part out?
Does your wax jet go to speed 11? Does it have cheetah mode?
So... You know, one thing about the laser that's pretty great is with wax, the process of developing the screen takes a long time because you got to get the wax off first before you can develop the screen. So what we used to do is we would have just like a dip tank with just water in it, and we would dip all the screens in. That's an extra process, you know, like versus with laser, like you don't have to wash that off. It just develops really quickly. Figuring out the perfect emulsion for you that works with that laser is probably going to be the more difficult piece of the equation.
I feel like that's with any unit though, is getting one that works really well. Especially we found that a lot with inkjet, is getting something where inkjet would adhere well to the emulsion in the temperature and humidity. Honestly, like part of it too, it's like, it's such a dumb thing, but it is and it isn't, is like, I own my building and I'm trying to be as efficient in space as possible.
Yeah.
And the laser takes up so much less room.
Totally.
A iImage, which is what, like 6x4, and then an exposure unit, which is like another 6x4 space in my dark room. So if I can get a laser where it's like 2 to 3 feet wide up against the wall, I have enough room for 5 more carts of full screens.
Well, a bicycle takes up less room in a garage than that car.
Oh boy.
Okay. just saying.
Okay.
What about? You can see, like, in my dark room, we couldn't fit an iImage in there.
Right.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, me with space, like, it makes a lot of sense.
So the laser screen exposes as well in that machine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like an all-in-one, you know?
Got it. So you don't have to wash it out at all? There's no washout with a laser?
But it's done after it runs.
Yeah, you got to wash it out.
Well, you don't... It's exposing... It's printing... The printhead is a laser beam.
Right.
So it's, like, exposing the screen as it's writing the screen. So we just take it out and put it. We have an auto developer. Like your eco rinse or whatever. We just like take it out, put it in there, and then it's done.
Yeah.
Then we're screen printing. You know.
So a good friend of mine, okay, named Danny, said that.
How do you say his last name?
Gildan, I think. he was saying that the laser is very particular or finicky about the thickness of the emulsion or anything in the emulsion, because like you just said, it's exposing at the same time. So have you had any challenges with emulsion, let's say EOM, when it comes to exposing with a laser?
Yeah, I think that's an important concept. You have to realize that, like, it's like baking a cake, kind of like an oven puts heat around the outside of the batter and it has to get to the inside to bake it fully, right? But I kind of like gooey cookies, you know, honestly. the reality is that you have to have the proper emulsion. You have to set your light intensity properly, just like you would with any exposure unit. You can get a bad exposure with metal halide.
Were you guys planning to get an autocoder too?
The time will come. Well, are you buying me one or what?
You can't get a laser.
Use coupon code.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't have an autocoder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to coat by hand.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. You should. Are you thinking about getting a laser?
No.
Let's peer pressure the shit out of Jonathan.
I've had an auto press since March of this year.
Well, you came to get a CTS. You have to get an auto coder.
I didn't come to get a CTS.
$200,000.
Actually, you came for a different reason. One of the main reasons is that you have a press in your van.
Yeah,
truck.
Tell us about that.
Tell us about that deal.
Oh gosh, no. A big thing with the Golden Boys podcast that I love to do is that if we can find a shop that is using a PC equipment that is maybe not the fastest or the best for that situation.
Or they're just in need.
If I have the ability to make that need, I do it. And so with my upgrade from a manual to an auto here recently, I have some extra presses and I just have equipment that's left over. For me, it's way harder to like, oh, I'm just going to sell this or try to get some money out of it. It's easier for me to look at buddies who have.
You'd rather pay it forward than make a buck.
Just give it to people. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, so Jared and I, drove 15 hours here because I loaded up my old Riley Jr. And gave it to my buddy who's been running a four color one station, like 150, and he's doing massive jobs, like 300 hoodies on a one station. And so I was like, yeah, we got to fix that.
He sounds like a print hustler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of print hustlers,
he definitely is.
Well, first of all, that's really nice
of
you.
What a sweetheart. Yeah.
No. Just love helping people out.
And second of all, make sure you go to printhustlers.com.
Heck yeah.
Get your tickets now.
Get your tickets for the shoe. No. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, really cool.
I like to cram as many things as humanly possible in one trip. That's what I do.
You should. And now so, you offloaded that, you can get your space. Auto reclaim.
You can take
it's been chilling in my garage. Ride.
Yeah, as long as what else? As long as you have room in the van to take stuff back, right?
Yeah. What do you have anything you want to get rid of?
I don't have anything to sell. I just sold my old autocoder to Dom.
Oh, because
he didn't have an autocoder, and he was doing CTS without an autocoder.
He was coding by hand.
Whew.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? We got an autocoder pretty early on because it was like, how many people in this print shop can actually code well?
Right.
And what happens when they're busy or someone calls in sick? You know.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
One of the best parts of automating.
Plus, if you get an autocoder that codes both sides of the screen, it codes twice as fast as coding manually.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always said that the autocoder is the easiest, most trainable piece of equipment we've ever had. I mean, basically, it's plug and play. I can train anybody how to run it in 1 minute. Even if you know how to code screens, if you're coding 100 screens, screen one through screen 100, it changes. You get tired and everything changes. And if you're trying to control your emotion, control variables, it's really difficult.
You know what? I have some old screen racks that I need to sell.
Yes, the back anybody want to
buy
car.
Some screen racks? I should have put them out last night at the party for sale.
Yeah.
Back to Made Lab, though. If you don't know about Made Lab and you haven't seen it, it's, for me anyway, it's the most amazing facility I've ever even been in. I'm not trying to, like, you know.
You are sitting tickets. Right next
I'm not trying to.
Here's a little story. The caliber of Made Labs, there were people there trying to scout presses outside of Made Labs, actually.
I saw
someone
that.
Someone came up to Brent and was like, does anyone need an auto? I'm selling an auto. That's the level. That's like the highest compliment.
So, dude, like, it's not a production facility, although it could be.
It's a training
facility. It's a training facility. But when you're in there, everything from the floors
the conduit.
To the walls. That's a song. Is that a song, maybe?
To the window, to the wall.
Everything from the windows. but it's beautiful. Like, I want to work there. So if I ever have the opportunity to redo, like, start over, I would do that. I would have Made Lab, honestly.
You would compete with Brett.
I would move next door.
I would open up a place to facilitate lessons and classes and paint it all
white. Right next to Made Lab.
The M&R's already left you a message.
Yeah.
We're going to take down these guys.
But check them out at madelab.io. They have all sorts of, I mean, almost, it seems like every month there's some sort of class.
Embroidery classes.
If you go to Print Hustlers, do you get to tour Made Lab?
You can see it.
Sure. So at Print Hustlers, actually, this is, I have an announcement to make. Very important announcement.
Beep, beep.
At Print Hustlers, there's the day after the actual conference, there's an option to go on tours. And so we're going to do tours of a few different facilities. One is S&S Activewear. One is Trust Print Shop. One will be Printed Threads. And I'm working on a couple other. We're going to do Renfro Salsa, potentially. As That'd long as they're running production that day. So, but that'll be an email that goes out soon. You want to take my place? Let's switch.
Come on, Ryan. Get in here.
Switch. Come here, Ryan.
All right. Your opinions.
It's been so nice talking to you guys. I'll see you on the flip flop.
Thanks, Brett.
Are you going to actually, you want to actually say something? Okay. Nikki, come in. Come on, Nikki. Get in here. Come on.
In the guest, in the hot seat. Yeah, yeah. Hot seat.
You have to wear this.
Is it a birthday?
It is now.
Next up,
it goes with the
Andy, do the intro.
Nikki OG of
that's Frank from
Mafia.
That's from Christina, by the way.
It's not her birthday, but it is now.
Andy, intro.
I just did.
It's like a press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think at this point people need too much of a background on Print Girl Mafia, but what are you guys up to and what's the organization?
Print Girl Mafia formed out of people that just needed support. We had a little text chain, went to Long Beach, created a girl gang, had some fun, and it's become a movement. We didn't really realize it was something that was needed within the industry until we started getting a lot more recognition from some of the vendors, some of the other print shops. We started hearing some of the stories from some of the other females in the industry and the things that they've been dealing with. So we decided to push forward with it. Our ultimate goal is just to get out here and support women in the industry who are looking for that support.
Another thing you guys do really cool is didn't you guys just get a bunch of stuff donated to make bags and help support in the areas that you guys
need? Every trade show that we go to, we want to try and like give back a little bit to the community because we kind of take so much from it when we're here at these trade shows. So our goal is to get one of the vendors to supply goods to us that we can donate to a homeless shelter in the area.
And you guys got a lot of stuff for, what was it, Atlantic City?
Yeah, SNS actually donated like a ton of t-shirts and bags and some other goodies that we took to a women's shelter.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nikki, tell us about the Facebook group that
that you're not allowed into.
Me and Dylan aren't allowed into.
It's for girls only.
Delanya is in there.
Who? Delanya.
She's very active.
Is she? Wonderful. You know what? Delanya's a great human.
Right.
So we created a closed Facebook page. It is for women only. Sorry, guys. Love you. Appreciate your support. But the idea there was to create a safe space for women to be a part of, a place where they could ask questions without fear of any kind of like, you know, anything from any of the guys. If you go into any of the other screen printing forums, and I know some of it is just joking around, but a lot of these women have stopped asking questions because they've been in there trying to ask questions, get genuine help, and they just get pushback and bullshit comments from people.
It's not just lady questions, but it's just print questions.
It's print questions, but they're not getting taken seriously.
Right. And you guys can support each other.
So the cool thing about it is if you go into that Facebook group right now and you look through some of the questions and some of the answers given, there's women in there that are asking questions that I've never seen their names pop up in any of the other pages. And I've reached out to a few of them, sidebar, just to kind of say, like, hey, how long have you been around the industry? 10+ years, some of them. And I didn't know who they are. And that's shocking to me. So.
They could just Facebook search the group and
they
find
it? So we have Instagram. It's open for everyone. It's at Print Girl Mafia. We've got the Facebook that is closed Facebook. It's also at Print Girl Mafia.
Can you buy merch?
You can.
Really?
PrintGirlMafia.com if you want one of these rad t-shirts.
Do they have the crew neck sweater?
I saw somebody wearing
coming soon.
Okay, coming soon.
We've got enamel pins. We've got stickers. We have our amazing embroidered jackets if anybody like really wants to get down and dirty with us. Mm-hmm.
And I've pushed my ladies at my shop to join up and be part of the group.
Yeah.
And they're stoked.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing here is really the bigger that we can make it, the more support that we can give to everybody, you know. Everybody wants to be on our personal text chain. That's too much. No. You guys know, like, once you get enough people on one of those text chats. Yeah. Some days I look at my phone and there's 200 or 300 text messages from that group all day long. Right. So the goal with creating the Facebook page was to kind of create that text chat in a way that more and more people could be involved.
Or show up at a trade show and hang out with everybody at night.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Nikki.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Is Ryan still here?
Ryan's gone. He's too busy.
Ryan dipped.
Andy, you have anything else?
So, CTS.
Oh, no.
No.
You can't.
Shut up, Stephen.
GraphX. By the end of the show, you guys are about 150K deep.
Cool.
At least.
So, hey, I just want all those companies, if you're watching right now, we do sponsorships. We do content. We want to... We can make yourself look sexy.
By far, some of the best in the game at making video content.
Yeah, videos are insane. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm not trying to fluff them either.
Who makes the video? Is that Jared? Is that you?
Yes, sir.
This guy is
his department. So
this guy just looks pretty.
Yeah.
This setup we've got going right now is so pro. It's like extra pro.
Yeah, me and Chris made some stuff happen to get all this stuff set up. Oh, yeah. And Dylan had to ship half of his setup here. And
yeah.
It's a big conglomerate of stuff.
Heck yeah.
Thank it all Jared. Came Thank together to make this sweet hangout.
Yep. Yeah, I've never seen so many people revolve in and out of a podcast before.
It's been awesome. More people to hop in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's to be said about trade shows, really. And for those who don't go to trade shows, don't go to them at all, for example. Yeah. I mean, now that they're back even stronger, I think.
Yeah.
And more than just coming here like you guys and talking to equipment manufacturers, it's also talking to other shops. And it's also like when we're at Made Lab last night and we're chatting about, you know, challenges or whatever, or not even about shops, just about life and laughing. And it's just good to get away and relate to people who understand what we're all going through every day. And so trade shows are, I highly recommend them. If you haven't come, you got to get to one of these things. There's usually one in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're kind of addicting. Like once you come to one, you're like, oh, I got to see my friends now. Like Dylan, we were talking to Gildan, and they're like, what do we do at the trade shows? We're like, hang out afterwards with us.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how we all met.
Yeah, this is actually my first trade show. I didn't get to go.
And how much money are you going to spend at your first trade show?
Yeah. I'm not spending any money.
It's not a good, trade to start with.
What's up, guys?
We got Mr. Ryan, Mr.
Speaking of trade show,
Mr.
Ryan has been to every trade show ever.
What? Yeah. Every trade show?
How long? What year is this?
What year is this?
Of trade shows.
2022? Maybe.
Good answer. No, when did you first start
Bruce
going to trade shows?
Bruce has been stuck in the metaverse.
First trade show. It was 2005 printwear show in Long Beach. And we went to Costco, got two fold up tables and we put them in my 4Runner and drove to LA all night long. Me and Sean Zimmerman, who's still with Rana. And I was like, what the fuck did I get into? Cause there's a bunch of like fat guys walking around with polo shirts on. And I just got off Warped Tour the year before. And then start his company, and they're like, we guess we have to do trade shows now. Like, this is horrible.
Did you own industry. Did you own
screen printing? But now this is like, these shows are like Warped Tour. They're fucking
Ryan,
awesome.
When you went to your first trade show, did you own screenprinting.com then?
No.
Okay, so
it was silkscreeningsupplies.com.
Yes, I remember that little world.
Yeah.
The little world.
We had just, the name of the company when we first started was silkscreeningsupplies.com. And then I was like, that's a horrible name. We should probably find another name. And so we called it Ryanet.
That was Ryan's videos where you were in the button-up shirt.
Tight white polo.
I turned into one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's raised off those videos, though.
I hated screen printing. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it for like 5 years until I started seeing like a barrel maker. I can't remember what shop it was. So I was like seeing these cool shops. I think Brett was one of the guys, like seeing these cool shops, meeting these cool people at the industry and like starting to hang out with them. Like, this is actually a really cool place that I want to spend the rest of my life probably in.
And probably. Your original videos were on DVDs, not even YouTube?
Correct. Yeah, 3 DVD set.
So do you still have any of those?
DVDs? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, well, up in the attic somewhere? They're on YouTube, though.
They're on YouTube, yeah. But Ryan has been taking a lot of them down because they're no longer relevant. So,
oh yeah, but we need like
a lot of the OGs.
We need to archive.
Yeah. Maybe I should like take them and put them on my channel.
Like a vintage series. Yeah.
They're so bad. Like my first video, I took 3 days to film. I didn't even know what I was doing, first of all. And secondly, it was like hot. These lights like had like these 500 watt halogen lights and was like itching my balls the whole time.
Was it just you like hitting record? Like, damn it. Ah, hit pause, hit record again.
And people, yeah, it was bad.
I think though, that's the way you got to do it. And you guys probably feel the same way, is that you just start, you hit record. And then you start somewhere. Yeah, you start somewhere and you start making a video and then you make your next video. And yeah, you got to start.
And you got to make a lot of bad ones.
And then now anytime we interview anybody, they always say, oh, I learned from Ryan. So obviously.
Who was first? You or Catspit?
Catspit was, right? Didn't we ask him that?
I think Catspit's older than me.
Really?
But I don't know who made the first video. Our first video we didn't even put it out. Like one of our customers took the DVD, ripped it, put it on, pointed to our website, and I was looking at the back end one day. I was like, saw all these orders coming through this website called YouTube. And I was like, this is cool. We didn't order it because we was all pay-per-click advertising. And so
that's kind of cool.
I was like, this is free advertising.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And so we started investing in it, but we were like on YouTube before it got bought by Google.
When you could only upload like 280 megs and it took like 4 days to get a video.
And oh, it was limited by time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
360 DPI.
It was like 5 minutes or something like that, or it was some max back then.
So yeah. this is October 1st. And I think that means for those in the fitness world, hashtag rise and grind, hashtag rise and roll.
Rise and Roll?
There's a Rise and Roll restaurant right across the street.
Okay.
And we were eating
sushi.
We were eating horrible food over there. Hashtag Rise and Roll.
Okay.
But today means something for the fitness world. And that is, I think 100, you do 100 burpees a day.
Yeah, we're trying to do, the challenge is 3,000 burpees in October.
So I'm thinking this. I'm
just going to do 3,000 burps in October.
Burpees.
I think we do this. We do them right now, all of us. And if we beat you, whoever beats you gets...
We get that rock over there.
Yeah.
they got the van.
First of all, I don't know. I already did them today with Zach.
That's fair. I would say
that's the handicap.
Almost died. It was doing 100 in a row is intense. You black out around 60, which is why I like to do it. It's kind of like in an ice bath. You black out around 3 minutes. When I say black out, your mind goes to a different space.
That's one of the reasons. What is a burpee? Is that the one where you go like all the way down and all the way back up?
Can you demonstrate one for us real quick?
I don't want to. You jump up and you.
Dylan, can you show us?
Dylan flies.
I don't know what the deal is, but yeah.
If I get down, I don't get up. That's the thing, because I'll just lay down.
Rising grind game.
Stay there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it's hard. They did 3,000 push-ups last month, which is. But a burpee is like a push-up and a squat.
And a jumping jack.
All in one. And a crunch all Cheetah in one. Mode.
Back to, real quick, the trade show stuff. You said in the beginning it was kind of a bunch of lamos and polos. How have you seen it evolve from then to now?
Well, it's more of a hangout party, meet your friends, meet your peers, learn from people. It's fun, I would say. Like, people look forward to going to trade shows. Like, I know our vendors look forward to going to trade shows. It's not hard to get people to go to trade shows. And they went away for a bit. Glad they're back.
Like we said, you can come to a trade show not knowing what's going to happen, hang out with your buddies, and then you end up leaving with a CTS, with a coder, and all everything free. Else. And a graphics
contract. Did you sign that? I mean,
it got thrown at us.
That is so Lucas right there.
It's
he's like, I'm going to sell them. There's
pens already attached to each contract.
It says, like, you know what the banquet's like, sign here with the stickers.
It's got it all ready for you.
Yeah. Hey, you need an artist, I guess.
I have one, but I probably need to sub out. Yeah.
What's next for Ryan?
Yeah, what is next for you?
You know, we got to figure out, we got still a lot of work to do with All Made, a lot of work to do with Rock, a lot of work to do with Made Lab. And yeah, it's more events coming up. You guys, are you guys going to Print United?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go to the Rock the Block party at Stoked On Printing.
Stoked
On first
party.
Day of the show.
Go hang out with Kevin.
Stoked On's having a rager.
Yeah.
Kevin Oakley is
we're
going to
have screen printing karaoke.
Oh,
how do you do that?
At
screen printing
well,
karaoke.
Screen printers karaoke.
Oh, okay. Is there a version I'm missing?
You have to get 100 shirts done within the song.
You have to sing it about emulsion.
We could like swap out the songs for different songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sweet emulsion, you know.
Sweet.
So we know what then is next for you professionally, but I was thinking more personally, like Bruce and I we're taking up surfing. And Bruce already is surfing a lot, but he's promised to teach me. And I was thinking maybe you join us, you know. Are you going to be out that way?
I've surfed twice. and it's hard. That's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Andy, you're going to take it up?
You're going to take it down?
Have you guys surfed?
You're going to take it down. Have you surfed before, Andy?
It's really hard to do.
Well, you practice on land, right? First, you know, well, Bruce has got me laying on the board.
You're stepping on Bruce's back and he's the board on the ground.
So I got a funny story about Brett. So we went to Mexico, our families, and Brett's like, yeah, I used to live in Huntington Beach. I surfed all the time. I'm just getting my ass handed. Like 2 days, finally got up. I was like, I got up. Brett's like, man, I haven't been surfing for a while, but you suck. I'm like, you do it.
You know, this is typical Ryan. I don't know how many times you've had conversations with Ryan, but every time I've had a conversation, he's an amazing multitasker. Like, he will be answering his watch. He'll be
or it's like pause and then respond to everything he said.
He gets it all, though.
You do get it all.
He's having a conversation, podcasting, answering emails.
Ordering dinner.
He just did a deal with Winks to somebody over here.
No,
sold a nice bath, posted
we're
a
out of ink, and they're at the front door. So I was like, there are two people calling me. Damn it.
We appreciate
okay,
that.
So
we
have
3 minutes
surfing,
left of the video.
Let's go surfing.
Yeah.
You can okay. show me some stuff.
I'll sit on the beach and rate you guys.
Can you surf in Fort Worth anywhere?
In Waco, you can go down and surf.
There's a pool.
But this was in Cabo. Brett ate shit so hard. It was, I have it on video.
Oh, can you text it to me?
Yes.
All right.
In the zone, actually, Deanna has said that they have a boat and you wake surf.
Have you guys been on wake surfing?
I've tried it, yeah.
That's fun.
Wake surfing is incredible.
Wake surf?
He's got a boat. Yeah.
So fun. You've never wake surfed?
No, I've wakeboarded.
Oh, you wakeboarded?
Andy, no. we talk about this.
Oh, that's right.
You can come surf whenever you want.
We've talked about this.
Wake surfing, you don't get killed. You don't fight sharks. If you fall down, the boat comes around. You can ride forever. It's awesome.
Can we have that, maybe the next event after Pretty Unite or ISS or something, we all wake surf. You know what I mean? That's the event.
That would be awesome. Jessica Tillery is a badass.
The boats are so small, though.
Like, do it in...
I mean,
Sacramento,
I guess you drop people off and go back.
Camp, yeah. Come on down to Indiana.
Justin Lawrence has got a badass.
We can go to Oklahoma
every other day.
Yeah, just have it out his like his beach house or like.
Yeah.
And then
JL.
Bring a couple.
Shout out JL.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody.
Are you guys stoked for Print Hustlers?
We are.
Yeah.
We're running out of video time, aren't we?
3 minutes.
Are we really? Okay.
2 minutes. How much time is left on the pattern?
Some are you guys coming to Print Hustlers?
Yeah, we should be.
Yeah. Sweet.
What is the next event? The next event is Printing United.
Rock
go out to Vegas. Go to Print United.
Stoked on Printing. Yep.
And then it's
back here.
Print Hustlers.
Yep, in Fort Worth. And then Long Beach.
And then Long Beach.
We could do a little surf thing if everybody wants to do
a Long Beach surf.
Yeah.
Go out to the beach for a day before or something.
So it means a lot to me if we could close this out with what's for dinner. So maybe we just all share a little bit of some good eats.
What's for dinner? Graph X is for dinner.
I got that's a weird. Tasty Nick foot.
that's a hotel room thing.
I don't know. Barbecue? I don't know.
Barbecue.
Yeah, we're in Texas.
We are in Texas.
Brisket.
Yeah.
Brisket.
I want some barbecue.
Torchy's tacos.
I'm flying American. I got upgraded, fortunately.
You're leaving?
And Brett says they've been serving the shrimp salad. So I guess.
Sounds sketchy.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like you throwing up all day.
Yeah.
Does not sound good.
Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. This is fun.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you guys in the next episode. From the shirt showers to the golden boys to the print hustlers.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
The first pod bang.
Good job, folks.
Pod bang.
How are you going to put this on 3 channels?
No clue.
Well, none of it actually got recorded and it's wasted.
Yeah. Yeah, right.